Well, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J.
And your girl, Love Love.
And this is the Mind His Business Show. Right here on Gospel Music Omaha 100.3 FM. Yeah, we know we're late. We know. We are testing out our new audio and visual setup in our studio. We've got some new equipment. And as you know, anytime you do new equipment, sometimes you gotta work with it a little bit. So we're doing our best to be able to work with it. That's what we're doing. So if you're looking on the video, you'll see that the background is even different. We got more stuff going on there with that. And it's not 100% how we want it. But
turn my head down.
It's definitely, down just a little bit. We're definitely getting there. That's for sure. So how's that right there?
Thank you. Perfect.
All right.
Thank you
so much. This will be probably good enough for today. Just make sure that we are coming in live.
Right.
And I think the volume is sounding good. What do you think?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, I think I need to turn myself down, and we'll turn you up a little bit in between the both of us. I think that's going to be a
happy medium.
There we go. All right, so how's everybody's week this week? I hope that your weekend has been restful. We record these live streams every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time in the United States. And I am saying that because we also broadcast on the internet, which allows us to spread this message all throughout the world, the entire world. And it is our privilege, honor, and joy to be able to do so. So if you are not in the Omaha, Nebraska, USA area, and you want to listen online, just go to gospelmusicomaha.com. Or if you have an Android phone, iPhone is pending. If you have an Android phone, just type in the words Gospel Music Omaha, and you'll see 100.3 FM there, and you will be able to have everything that goes from the FM phone. From the FM dial onto your phone. And so while we're talking about that a little bit, let me get a stand for you for that phone. And while we're doing that,
it didn't work.
Tell them a little bit about
week. We'll just do it next week. Let's keep moving here.
Keep it moving. But you got to hold your hand there for a whole hour.
No, I'll push it up against this.
No. We're going to do better than
because
that.
Because it's not plugged in. See, I'll just push it up against this until we can get it set.
All right. That is up to you, but that's going to fall. And so I want to help you out.
I have the base back here. I got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and let you do it then.
Thanks.
All right. So while that's happening, I hope that your week has been good. I hope that everything is going according to how you planned and hope that it would go. And if it hasn't, don't worry, because there's another week and we can do it all over again this week. So I'm certainly glad that we have plenty of time to be able to do the things that God has us to do. As long as we are above ground, my dad used to say every day above ground is a good day. So
absolutely.
So what's going on in your week this week, love?
Basically trying to, I had to renew everybody. My barbering's license and my styling license.
Yay.
And, you know, come to find out, you know, there's very few people that have a barbering and a hair cosmetology license at the same time and have done it this many years as I have. And so that's considered a doctor's degree, even from the experience standpoint. But I'm excited, very excited to have gotten everything renewed and to pass my test.
Congratulations.
The test. 100%, y'all. Very, very happy.
Of course. I wouldn't have expected anything less from you because you are awesome when it comes to that hair.
Yeah, but I had decided to slow down on the hair because I was doing so much hair that, you know, that when I had the stroke, literally, I was stroking and did not know that I was stroking while I was doing hair. Finished the cut, finished everything, and then said, Jackie, I just don't feel too good.
I think you really should take me to the hospital. That's kind of how it ended up.
Yeah. And it's a good thing that she got me there. But, you know, knowing your body is very, very important. It's important that you know your body. Don't be the type of person that I was where you just used to pushing past the pain, you know, and things of that nature. And so because of that, you know, a lot of things probably wouldn't have died. You know, when you have a stroke, certain parts of your brain actually, they say, die. So I had to figure out how to build back up that part of my brain. So, you know, I had to check out lion's mane and all the wonderful things that you can do to really help with that. Mm-hmm. And so we just want to make you aware that we have been asked, well, we've been asked, but we've been doing this for a very long time. We've started a company called Elevate Natural.
That's ELEV number 8 natural.com. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you can start getting a lot of these superfoods that we have, just like with the children of Israel. Did you know that they had quail? And one of the things about quail is, you know, it's not like, you know, chicken eggs where you can get the salmonella and things like that. It's a superfood. It's a superfood.
Well, with those egg prices being so high, everyone is interested in it, to the point where some people are like, I need to buy some chickens. And buying chickens is a good idea. However, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you now, doing quail is better. Yes. The reason why it's better is because, number one, they're smaller. So if you've never raised chickens on your own before, you've mm-hmm. never done it before, you kind of, they're a good starter bird. Mm-hmm. They're very docile, they're very tame, they're very small,
they're
so
very quiet.
So think about your Cornish hens, and go maybe the same size or a little smaller depending on which one you have. That's going to be about the size of the bird if you want mm-hmm. it for meat. That usually you could eat one or two of them on your plate for dinner. But really the main thing is the eggs, because right now egg prices are crazy.
Right.
And you can get quail eggs for about 2 to 3 quail eggs equal 1 chicken egg, but they get more protein, less cholesterol, no salmonella.
I'm an egg lover, so I can tell you it takes 4 eggs to equal egg.
Well, you like eggs so much. Why you eat so many. But we sell them, and we
absolutely takes 4.
We raise our own quail, and they are they're wonderful. They're very easy to handle. They literally fit in your hand, mm-hmm. and we've got so much interest right now that our orders are actually starting to back up. So correct. We are about to hatch another 50 to 100 birds right now just for the eggs. So we're selling the eggs by the dozen, and then you can even get a quail bucket, like 12 dozen eggs. Mm-hmm. And so we are making it affordable, making it easy. If you do want something like mm-hmm. that, reach out to us on socials.
Absolutely.
Or you can text the radio station at 402-819-8941. And tell us you're interested in getting some quail eggs, because our quail eggs, they run about $3-4 for a dozen. And if you get the 12 dozen quail bucket, not like a KFC bucket, but a quail bucket of just the eggs,
like the popcorn, popcorn bucket.
That's that works out to, I think we're going to do a special right now, $25 for 12 dozen. So that's a little bit over $2 mm-hmm. per dozen of quail eggs. Mm-hmm. And even if you had 3 quail eggs to 1 chicken egg, if you do the math in your head,
it takes 4.
That'd be about $6 a dozen on chicken eggs. Mm-hmm. But our eggs, we know exactly how they were raised. We know how they were treated. We know what they were fed. And that is gold. When you get the eggs from us, they are not washed, because there's something called a bloom that is on the outside of an egg when it is hatched, but when the egg is laid, there's a bloom on the outside. And mm-hmm. what it does is it is an actual natural preservative.
Correct.
For the egg itself. The protect. Eggs you buy from the grocery store, they wash those eggs. And what that does is that reduces the shelf life. That's why your eggs go bad. That's why their expiration dates are so short, because they wash those eggs, they irradiate them. Not mm-hmm. to mention, you don't know what those chickens were fed, what sort of pesticides, antibiotics, mm-hmm. all that stuff. It's always better to shop natural with your local farmers, your local gardeners, whenever possible. And we're making that available on purpose, because quail is definitely a biblical meat.
Yes,
and
it is.
We've actually talked about this subject before, but with the egg prices being so high, it has actually come up again. Did you know quail are I like to call them the biblical bird with the miracle meat and the extraordinary eggs. That's what I like to call them. Let me show you where the quail are in the Bible. So in case you have never seen this before. So when the children of Israel had their confrontation with Egypt, because they were enslaved, mm-hmm. and Moses represented God on behalf of the people, and of course our God was greater than all the Egyptian gods. So each one of those plagues that happened in Egypt was specifically designed to show the Egyptians that our Most High God was stronger than their God. So each one of the 10 plagues actually demonstrated how our God was greater than one of their idols. And so after the last 10th plague, where the firstborn was dying and finally Pharaoh was like, oh man, you know, y'all got to go. God did a miracle. They went across the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. They were able to leave there. And as they were going to the Promised Land, they spent many, many years in the wilderness, walking, and not getting where they needed. But their shoes never wore out.
Not ever.
And God made sure that they were able to eat what they needed every single day. So he fed them kind of a bread-like substance called manna.
Manna, that's right.
But then...
what is it? That's so, what manna stands
so
for.
So catching you up to that, in Exodus chapter 16, we see where the quail come into play. So as we pick up the story there, as they took their journey, all the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Aaron and Moses in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. In other words, they were complaining.
They were eating leeks.
God gave them this miracle to get them out of slavery, and they were complaining because they lost some of the comforts of when they were enslaved. And then the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Oops, sorry, I flipped my thing here accidentally. My bad. And the people shall go out and gather a certain amount every day, that I may show them whether they will walk with my law or not. And it will come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it'll be twice as much as what they gather on the other days of the week. The reason why is on the seventh day they weren't going to gather anything at all. They had a day of rest, or a Sabbath day. And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel in the evening time, then you shall know that the Lord has brought you out from the land of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And in the morning, then you will see the glory of the Lord. Mm-hmm. For he hears your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us, meaning Moses and Aaron? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, that's meat, and in the morning bread to the full. Mm-hmm. For that the Lord hears your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, Moses and Aaron, but against the Lord. Yep. Moses spoke to Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that's millions of people, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I have heard the complainings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, in the evening time you shall eat flesh, that's meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that in the evening quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay around the host. And when the dew was had evaporated upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing as far as the frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, it is manna. For they didn't know what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat.
Wow.
And then he says, gather every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, etc., etc. The point
eating
here
is for his family.
The point here is that when they were hungry, God provided them not only bread in the morning in the form of manna, but he provided them meat in the evening in the form of quail. So that's why I call quail the biblical bird with the miracle meat and the extraordinary eggs, because literally this is how God sustained millions of people for years as they were going through their travels. God himself made sure that they were able to eat and have eggs and protein. Quail eggs, for example, lower your cholesterol. They lower your blood sugars. They lower your blood pressures. They're, as I mentioned, higher protein, less cholesterol, no salmonella. They're very small birds, so small that you could have a few and have them in your living room or your closet or your garage or wherever it is that you would want to keep them in a small space. They're very quiet birds. The females make virtually no sound at all. So you could have them and no one would even know. Your apartment manager wouldn't know. Your landlord wouldn't know. Mostly no one would know if you wanted just only girls to produce your own eggs. And we do sell live birds as well as the eggs. So if you're interested, go to elevatenatural.com. That's E-L-E-V number 8 natural.com. And there should be a button on there called quail. And if you hit that, then you'll get more information about how to get eggs, how to even get birds if you want live birds, or if you want a personal consultation about how you can work that into your cooking or your family or your lifestyle, text the radio station 402-819-8941, and we definitely will respond to make it affordable, because we know that this world system, they're doing crazy stuff to the food supply. And the more self-sufficient we can be, we can live our lives a lot more like how God's children live their lives, because it's the Old Testament is it says it was written as examples for us in how to live. And I'll pull that verse up, and that one's in Corinthians. Let me pull that up. Is it in sample or example? I never remember. Yes, it's 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. So it says, neither let us, starting in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur, don't murmur and complain, as some of them also murmured and complained. We just talked about that. And they were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happened unto them for ensamples or examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Therefore, let him that thinks he stands
take heed
lest ye fall. So in other words, all the things that happened to the children of Israel and to the people in the Old Testament, those are written to be examples for us so that we can grab the principles out of those, the godly principles, and live our lives according to the principles. Now notice I said the principles, not the exact same thing. Obviously, we live in a different country. We live in a different time. Our life and our lifestyles are a little different because of our context. But as they say, you know, human nature is always the same. And people are people no matter where they are or when they are. And the principles are the same. And the principle here is that if we trust God, he will supply us with all of our needs. Even if it looks like we're in a tough situation or we're in a wilderness season of our life, he will provide everything that it is that we need.
Because a lot of prices are definitely going past the roof. No, you don't really need to say through the roof, because they've gone through the roof and then up higher. It's
through the roof and coming out the other side.
Past the roof, right.
Exactly. So that's really what I wanted to say about that. What else is on, what has God been impressing upon you so far this week or this, I don't know, for this season? What's going on with you?
Just having better health, fasting. It's important to fast because basically he talks about, is this a fast that I've called you to? And you have to seek him as to what to fast for. So if you're fasting, you're asking the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you as to what you should be fasting for. Mm-hmm. And he has to call you to the fast. What do I mean by that? Some people will be food. Some people will be, I need you to do without your phone for at least, you know, 3 days or a week. There are some people that cannot go without their phone for even 24 hours. So this is a very personal, thing. So that's what I've been doing, and I've been seeing the benefits, if I can use that word, the benefits, because the Holy Spirit understands and He knows the heart and mind of God concerning you and concerning your family and concerning even past that, because this is a family thing. This is not just something that you think, you know, oh, this is just affecting me. No, it's affecting everybody. It's affecting your whole family.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Just like we said, think about those prices with the eggs and you know, a lot of that irradiation and so many things that should not be. And this is another thing, you know, a lot of people don't even pray over their food. They don't even pray over their food. They don't even give God thanks. You know, so this is teaching you also how to be in a state of gratefulness
mm-hmm.
to God for supplying you with the things that you need and that you should have for your body. It's important.
Well, what I find interesting is that there's been a big push lately for veganism. And there's been this big push for, oh, it's so much healthier. And then there's also this push for things like intermittent fasting and, oh, fasting is so good for you. And those things can be true depending on your context. However, anytime you see the world system pushing something that hard to where all the celebrities are pushing it, all the news agencies are pushing it, you've got to know that this world system pushes things in a way that is, they have an agenda to it.
And they see that something's coming as well.
They see that they are generating a food crisis, a famine. Remember, in the book of Revelation, one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse deals with famine. It says a day's wages for a loaf of bread, for example, in the book of Revelation. And so because they know there's going to be massive starvation caused by them and massive depopulation caused by them under the direction of Satan, what they're trying to do is they're trying to mentally get people conditioned and prepared for not being able to eat. Mm-hmm. And so they're pushing the veganism thing, not because they really want you to be healthy. Because if they wanted us to be healthy,
because they're collapsing things purposely.
If they wanted us to be healthy, they'd be giving out free vitamins. They'd be giving out free seeds. They'd be giving out free insulin. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? If it was really about health, they would be giving out all kind of free things and banning a whole bunch of synthetic chemicals in our food. It's not about us being healthy. It never has been. What they're trying to do is get us used to the idea of not eating meat. Now, notice, I just read to you a scripture of how God literally fed his children with meat.
Quail is meat.
He gave them meat.
Quail is meat.
If you think about it, wait a minute. If God is not vegan, then I don't have to be in bondage to veganism. Now, notice, I didn't say that you could not be vegan. What I said was you do not need to be in bondage to the veganism agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you another example. When Jesus fed the 5,000, what did he feed them with?
Fish.
He fed them with fish. Remember the fish and the bread?
Come on here.
Here. Some of y'all don't believe me. Let me pull it up. Some of y'all don't believe me. Let me pull that one up. Jesus, one of Jesus' greatest miracles, he fed them some meat.
Two fish and five loaves of bread. How do you feed all those people with that? How do you do that? Truly, truly a miracle.
There's more than one verse that deals with this. But here's mm-hmm. one right here in Mark. This is in the book of Mark. And I'm sorry for those of you watching on video. We don't have our system set up quite the way we wanted to
get there.
But we're going to get there.
We're getting there.
So it says here in Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 1, in those days, now remember, Jesus, he started getting a following. He started getting crowds around him. He was famous.
Because he was telling the truth.
Because he was healing people. He was doing miracles. He was completely upsetting, the Pharisees, disrupting everything that was going on.
Politics.
And so people were following him everywhere. It was like he was famous. So it says, in those days, the multitude being very large and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. These crowds were so committed to seeing him. He was so famous that they had not even stopped to eat.
That's deep.
They didn't go anywhere for a meal. That's it would be deep. Like, it would be like, I don't know, pick your favorite celebrity. And you know how people get in line for days and days just trying to get tickets to their concert or whatever. I've seen some people that were so crazy super fans that literally they would put on adult diapers. You know those Depends? They would put on Depends just to stand in line to get a ticket. Or you see this a lot with like the Jordan sneakers. When they drop the latest pair of sneakers, people stand in line for days and days. They won't eat. They won't get out of line. They won't nothing, because they're trying to get this thing. That's how famous Jesus was, because of the miracles he was doing and what he was teaching.
Yeah, because they had all kinds of miracles. That's what the thing was, because they were sick in their body.
So he said, I have compassion on the multitude because they've been with me for 3 days and they haven't had anything to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will collapse or faint on the way, for many of them came from far away. And his disciples answered him, well, from where can we satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, well, how many loaves of bread do you have? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took 7 loaves. He gave thanks. He broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples to set before them. And they set this bread before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And he blessed them. He blessed the fish, mm-hmm. and commanded to set the fish also in front of them.
He prayed so over they, the food. You should pray over your food. Like
so they
stated.
Ate, they were filled, and they took up from the broken meat that was left over 7 baskets of meat, and they had eaten were about 4,000 people, and then he sent them home after that. Mm-hmm. So if...
That's one version, yep.
If the veganism cult was godly, why would Jesus feed people fish and bless it? Mm-hmm. Okay, you want another example? Here's another example. Have you ever heard of the Last Supper, love?
Come on here.
Everybody's heard of the Last Supper, haven't they? So it's called, we call it the Last Supper because it was the last meal where Jesus blessed the bread and the wine, and that's where we get communion from. Mm-hmm. And Jesus betrayed him. And
no, not Jesus betrayed him.
Judas. Thank mm-hmm. you. Judas betrayed him. Mm-hmm. There was a slip of the mouth there. Judas betrayed him, and all this stuff happened at this Passover dinner. This was what we call the last supper. Oh my gosh. The Last Supper.
I got your back up close.
Okay, I think it's this one, John 19? Nah, I'm going to pick the other, let's go to, I don't want to do the one in John. Let's do one of the other, the Last Supper verse. There we go. Sorry about this. I know where it is, but I don't have chapter and verse, so I'm about to pull it up for you here. Matthew 26 might be the one. Luke 22. All right, so we'll look at one of these, and whichever one it is, that's the one we're going to go with. So we'll start with Matthew 26. Yeah, let me roll on down here. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And so he's talking about this Last Supper, and then he talks about the communion and the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread. The disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where will you that we prepare for you to eat the Passover. And then he continues on. And that's not really what I want to get at. But so I will give you the passages and then you can look them up. Matthew 26 verses 17 through 30, Luke 22 verses 7 through 38. So those two passages, and then John also talks about the Last Supper. But what I want to read for you is, what is the Passover meal? Mm-hmm. Because we know that Jesus ate the Passover meal, and we know that the disciples ate with him, and it's probably the most significant meal in Scripture. So let's put in, what is the food? I'm putting this in Google. The food in the Passover meal. 12 foods that make up a traditional Passover meal. All right, come on down.
Unleavened bread, it should say quite a few.
All right. Because I want to show you that it's typically they have meat. Now I want, now this is a modern one. I want the ancient. Ancient Passover meal. Ancient. There we go. And as you can see, I'm doing research real time. And this is the same thing you can do when you're looking up scripture as well, because we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. And this is one of the ways that we study. And so, okay, here we go. What is the Jewish Passover meal? Let's see if this one gives it to us. Really, what I'm looking for really is the recipe, really. But all right. Because the point that I'm driving at is that the Passover meal has meat in it. And that's the point. So let me flip over to my browser so you can see what I'm looking at on my browser here. And I apologize that next week we'll have this be a bit better. So this is cozymeal.com. Passover meal. What is the Jewish Passover meal? There's a picture on here. It includes some meat and some vegetables and yummy, yummy, yummy. Steeped in centuries-old tradition, symbolism, and storytelling, a Passover meal is a feast for the soul. Every carefully chosen dish carries deep significance, from simple matzo to bitter herbs and decadent date-filled cakes, weaving together history and flavor in a meaningful way. Mm. What is the Passover meal? Well, Passover is a celebration of when that 10th plague that we talked about earlier, when the children of Israel went through the 10 plagues that vanquished each one of the Pharaoh's false idols from Egypt.
That's true.
That Passover was the 10th plague, where God passed over the Hebrews and anyone that had the blood over the doorpost. That's where they right. had to sacrifice a lamb, and then they would eat that lamb, and their firstborn children or sons were spared from the death angel. And that's some, what the
and
whole
there's some people that say, I won't touch no lamb. Well, you know, as you could see, they did eat lamb.
So
I've had lamb before.
Well, yeah, a lot of people have had lamb
chops. It's different, you know. Some people, I'm not touching that. Okay.
Here we go. Okay. Thank you for bearing with me there while it took me a little extra time to find that. So what is on the Passover plate, or also called the Seder plate? Mm-hmm. A Passover meal features a Seder plate with six symbolic foods that tell the story of the Israelites' escape. Well, they didn't escape. Egypt was so messed up after all those plagues that they let them go. They didn't escape nothing. They let them go. Anyway.
They still had to run.
But it says that this Passover meal that Jesus partook with the disciples, each symbolic foods tell a story of the Israelites' escape from Egypt, with every element carefully chosen to honor family, faith, and history. Here are the six foods to look out for on the Seder plate.
Yeah.
Forgive me for any mispronunciations. First, the chazaret, or the chazaret, I'm not sure. Typically, it was romaine lettuce, chicory, or endive, and these bitter herbs symbolize the bitterness and hardship of slavery in ancient Egypt. The next one is bitza. This is a simple hard-boiled egg. So, you know, a true vegan wouldn't even eat an egg.
Nope.
But as you can see, this Passover meal that Jesus partook in, it had eggs in it.
Come on here.
And he blessed the table when he ate. So clearly it's okay to eat eggs. Because if Jesus ate eggs, I can eat eggs. It's just simple as that. It says this simple hard-boiled egg with many deep symbolic meanings. It can represent mourning for the Holy Temple's destruction, the cycle of life, determination, resilience. Another meaningful message lies in the egg becoming firm when it's cooked, symbolizing strength in the face of adversity. The third food is charoset. This nutty spiced mixture is typically made from nuts, apples, cinnamon, and ground spices. When infused with wine, it creates a delicious paste. It represents the mortar used by the Israelites when building in Egypt. The next one is maror. Similar to the chazaret, maror consists of bitter herbs that symbolize the bitterness of suffering from slavery. Horseradish is the most commonly used herb of choice. The fifth food is called zeroa. It is a roasted lamb bone, symbolizing the paschal lamb that was sacrificed on the evening of the first Passover, the night before the Israelites left Egypt. Lamb. And the final item on the Seder plate is karpis, which is fresh parsley or celery stalks dipped into salted water. It symbolizes the season of spring and the feeling of renewal, while the salty water represents the Israelites' tears during their enslavement. So as you can see, Jesus had eggs. He had lamb, which is land animals. And after the Israelites left, after the first Passover, they ate quail, which is a bird. So, and he also fed the multitudes with fish. Mm-hmm. So that's covering your land animal, your fowl, your fish, and your eggs. So the point here is, if you wish to be a vegan because it works good with your body ecosystem, then go ahead. If you need to be a vegetarian or a vegan because it seems to work better with your own individual body system, great. Mm-hmm. But
don't just
run and say everyone has to be a vegan or a vegetarian because of some agenda that is being told to us by the world system, or say that people have to fast or intermittent fast and do all these things. Because the agenda of the world and why they're pushing veganism is to prepare and condition us for the time when the food supply is going to be severely disrupted as part of their control and depopulation agenda. Because Revelation says they have other terrible, awful plans. And so they are so dastardly that they are now, and I'm going to say allegedly, but I've seen articles where they are working on putting together, modifying your DNA to make you allergic to meat. Did you know that, love?
Yes.
Let me see if I can find that article about.
But yet they're feeding people ground up bugs. You wondering why the food don't taste the same? It's not you, because we know. Look.
Right.
We know the difference. It's them that want to grind up all types of bugs and all kinds of mess and try to get us to eat that, you know.
Well, and you've heard about the Taco Bell, how that Taco Bell meat is not even...
Taco bellyache.
What's really in Taco Bell's infamous beef? Well, it has something in it textured soy protein, I think.
Soy really is...
So a lot of that meat... What they tell you is meat is actually filler. It's soy. It's not even. It's not even beef.
And there's a lot of genetically modified. Yuck! You know.
Right. Here it is, right here. Bio. Okay, let me pull this one up because this is crazy right here.
We're not lying.
So the first thing I'm going to show you is this bioethicist. Do not sell my information. I'm trying to reject these cookies. I hate these things. Okay, this article says, bioethicist suggests re-engineering humans to become allergic to meat. What?
but yet they're stocking up on a whole bunch of it. Y'all know that.
Wait a minute.
They want to take all of the stuff for
themselves. So you want to monkey with people's genetics to make them allergic to meat? Why would you want to intentionally make somebody allergic? Just evil. It's evil. So it says here, let me read this article to you. This is one of those rare moments where we don't know if we should just make jokes or fear for our lives. Prepare yourself. A viral video shows a bioethicist suggests that we re-engineer humans to become allergic to meat in order to control climate change. Oh my gosh. A video of a panel at the 2016 World Science Festival has resurfaced, causing outrage from thousands on social media. S. Matthew Liao is speaking about reducing humanity's footprint on the planet. Now, yes. Pause there. God said to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So do you see how the world's agenda is to get us to depopulate ourselves and to have less impact and influence on the earth? Now, I'm not talking about destroying.
So they can keep more of it for themselves. Right.
I'm talking about good stewardship of the earth. I'm not talking about ruining the earth. I'm talking about we're supposed to multiply and steward and multiply. The earth. Mm-hmm. Okay? But he's saying,
you know what the word be fruitful means?
Have children.
Fruitful is to have children.
Have children, grow, right. Cultivate things, cause those things to bear fruit, be creative, add value to the world. Those are all the things that God has given us and blessed us as being in his image to be able to do. But
Jesus,
this guy
is not happy with
this guy is saying he wants us to be allergic to meat, and he wants to change our genetics to do so. He says a major impact of each of us can make is by limiting our meat. Notice how you see how that's opposite of what God and Jesus were doing in the Bible.
What the word says,
limiting our meat. He then brings up the idea of altering one's body to be allergic to all meat in order to help with our overconsumption. An example is given of how a tick bite can cause alpha-gal allergy or a red meat allergy. There's this thing called the Lone Star tick where if it bites you, you will become allergic to meat. And by the way, I think ticks were genetically modified, but we'll save that.
Correct.
We'll save that another day.
If you keep make a note of it, though. Because I'm sure there's some who do want to know about it.
That's something we can do through human engineering is what he says. We can kind of possibly address really big world problems through human engineering. What? Tony,
Boy.
Oh my gosh.
Boy.
So this is insanity.
That's why you have to pray.
And who's to say if they don't alter your genetics to be allergic to one thing that you won't become allergic to all kind of other things? Mm-hmm. And who's to say that they're not already engineering us through the various pokey pokes they have been putting in our bodies since we were babies and first came out of the womb? First thing they do is they tell you you got to get these injections. But I don't want to get down that road. The point is that God has given us fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, herbs, as well as he has given us the ability to be omnivores. It's okay to eat land animals, birds, fish.
There's somebody eggs. That you can't get unless you eat land animals.
Exactly.
Did you know that there are some that you can only get those from land animals?
That's right. I'm trying to see. Here we go. Here's that article about the Taco Bell meat.
Oh boy.
All right. So I'm probably end on this. It's a terrible place to end, but it's okay. So this says meatcheftools.com. What is Taco Bell's meat made of? And it says, unwrapping the mystery. What's really in Taco Bell's meat? Unveiling the ingredients that make up Taco Bell's signature meat has become a topic of intrigue and curiosity for many customers. Because I know that stuff ain't meat. Man, I get up, people buy that Taco Bell and I'm like, something don't smell right. My nose be telling me.
I call it Taco Belly Ache.
It says, with its mouth-watering menu offering a variety of delicious options, discerning diners are eager to understand what goes into the flavorful fillings of their favorite tacos, burritos, and more. In this article, we delve into the depths of the mystery surrounding Taco Bell's meat. That's because it's a mystery meat. Shedding light on the composition and quality of the ingredients used in these beloved fast food delights. By dissecting the components that go into crafting Taco Bell's meaty dishes, we aim to provide clarity and transparency for those seeking a different understanding of the fast food industry. Join us on this exploration, he says. Quick summary. Taco Bell's meat is made from seasoned ground beef that consists of 88% beef and 12% signature recipe ingredients, which includes seasonings, oats, and soy lectins. Soy.
No wonder. You know, those lectins, you know.
They'll get you. Not only that.
Lectins are in tomatoes as well, which is why I just can't.
So it means that they're reducing the percentage of actual beef so that they can make it cheaper. And they're replacing it with things like soy, which are endocrine fillers. Disruptors, as well as estrogen producers. Mm-hmm. And so if you got a son, for example, and you let him eat Taco Bell all the time, he might get little boy boobs, man boobs, and he might be emotionally a little more sensitive than you expect because the soy is literally producing additional estrogen in his body.
Whereas testosterone.
You know, males need a higher balance of testosterone over estrogen. And so if you give a male more estrogen, it can produce things that would be more feminine of result.
Effeminate.
Well, they're putting this stuff in the meat, y'all. As a matter of fact, there's soy in so many processed foods. It's incredible that we don't have more problems than we do. But yeah, 88, it's only 88% meat.
That's if they're telling the truth.
I was going to say the same thing. That's even if I even believe what they're saying here. I'm just rolling through here.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe it either. Look at all that. Consumer concerns and controversies about Taco Bell's meat has been going on for years.
Wondering why you can't sleep and wondering why you're more emotionally crying and ain't no telling.
All kind of manners of craziness going on. So
and some people, believe it or not, they put things in it that make you addicted to that particular food.
Oh, yeah. We haven't even scratched the surface of the excitotoxins issue. and high fructose corn syrup. And other addictive agents that they put in the food, the high levels of salts and sugars, which excite your taste buds and make you crave even more of it. So we could do a whole health channel, and maybe that's something that we'll set up as we'll have you do an Elevate Natural Minute or something like that, where you just talk about healthy things.
Absolutely.
How we can treat our physical bodies with the same care and concern that we treat our spiritual lives and our spiritual temples as well. So maybe that'll be something that we'll put together here in the near future. You guys keep watching out for that.
Absolutely.
But the point being here is that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. They are the physical way. So we are a spirit in a body, and we're also a body that has a spirit, and we're both. It's fused together. And we can glorify God in both our bodies, our souls, and our spirits. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this just encourages you this week that you're going to come across all kind of things on social media, especially in our community, whether it's Dr. Sebi or whether it's some of the other trendy people right now. And they are really pushing this veganism. There's other guys out there, and I really don't like naming names because I'm not trying to give them any shine. But their mentality or their perspective that they're coming from, I'm going to be charitable and say that they are coming from, in their mind, a good place. But when you begin to study their underlying philosophies, it's very anti-Christian underneath in a lot of ways. And so you have to always examine anything that someone is teaching against the Word of God. So when someone like a Dr. Sebi, who I think in general has wonderful, excellent ideas. I've looked at the things that he has talked about for a long time. But when he starts talking about you can't eat any animals at all and you need to become completely vegan, and yet you're turning around and also saying it's okay to smoke cannabis, I'm wondering if that's really helping us or really hurting us, because it definitely is not necessarily lining up with what we just saw in the scripture, where it's okay to eat bird like quail. It's okay to eat fish. It's okay to eat eggs. It's okay to eat lamb. It's okay to eat anything as long as you bless the food and you are grateful for it and you eat it with thanksgiving. That's what the scripture says, mm-hmm. that it's okay to eat that. And it's okay if you choose to eat it, and it's okay if you choose not to eat it, but it should not become an idol, and it should not become a cult, and it should not become a fanatical practice where now you're splitting over your family because some of you are vegan and some of you aren't.
And I've seen that, and it's just atrocious. You know, he said, "Rise, Peter, slay and eat." Come on now.
That's in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
So,
come on.
There are lots more passages we could get into about this topic. We've talked about them over the years. And really, probably what we should do is just pull together like a deep dive on that all over again. And maybe we even package it up like a course or something, like a one-on-one on biblical eating, things like that.
So, too, that we probably should do a little bit about your blood type, because blood type has a lot to do with the way that you eat. And some of you probably don't even know your blood type. So, but if you do, or if you, should go to your medical professional and find out what your blood type, that's another way to also eat as well.
So I think we probably got some seeds, no pun intended, some seeds of some new programming that we'll put out here on the radio station. So be looking out for that, because I think it's timely and I think it's important, and I think there's a lot of information out there that may be well-intentioned, but you always have to examine the foundation. Who is delivering the information? What is their foundation? What are they teaching to go along with that, with that food instruction? What's their motivation? And most importantly, examine it in light of the Word of God, and don't just take somebody's word for it because they got a lot of followers on social media. So that will be the big message for this week. And we weren't actually planning on talking about this topic, so if that was something that blessed you and encouraged you, then I hope it was right on point for you. So that's going to do it for this week. Join us every Sunday live at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. We rebroadcast this every week during our morning show from Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. And we also upload each episode to the mindhisbusiness.com website. Mm-hmm. So you can go back and listen to it again and listen to our past episodes, so you can get all caught up and get entertained, as well as thought-provoking information, and we hope that it is a powerful ministry for you. So with that, we're going to sign off for this week. I'm Lady J.
And I'm Love Love.
And we'll see you next time.
Ciao.